labor rights. We'll be back with that tomorrow. This is Mark Levine signing off.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, another week begins. 2 days of long enforced silence end for me, and that's always a relief for folks like Agnes and the rest of the family who have to watch me mumble around the house for 2 days. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and golly gee, let's deal with this one right out of the blocks, get this over with and passed. You know by now, of course, that New York Governor Eliot Spitzer has been caught in a prostitution ring. And some political observers were shocked, surprised, that such a, you know, white hat guy who's gone after all the bad folks, you know, insurance companies, gougers, you know, criminals, crooks, that kind of thing, would be caught getting it on with hookers. On the other hand, the Republican Party said that they were shocked. Of course, the Republican Party was shocked because Spitzer was actually having sex with adults. Oh, I got a million of them. I'll be here all night. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip your waitress. So, it's just a diversion. Of course, Spitzer has probably flushed a lot of ambitions down the toilet on this one. And that's kind of a pity, because he is one of the good guys. Yeah, got caught with his hands in the secretary's drawers. Ba-dum-bum. Now, I'm sure there are a million jokes, and every last one of them will, in fact, be made along the way, somewhere, at some point in time. And, you know, how many? It's obviously it's the lead story at CNN right now on their website. God knows we can't talk about the other kind of important things. We got to talk sex, dirty sex scandal. Well, read it here. Get your extra. Democrat caught having sex with other adults. Extra. Of course, it sort of begs the question why we can't have this kind of coverage every time some filthy, disgusting, stinking, repig-licking SOB gets caught diddling children. But, you know, I guess, I mean, the professional media has to protect its enablers, i.e., the repig-licking party and its tent full of pederasts and pedophiles. It's just that way. I don't know. Is this a real live, honest-to-God phone call this early in the program? Let's see what's going on.
It's Kevin from New York.
Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Or Brooklyn, I should say.
Yeah. That's in New York.
It's all about what sticks, and Eliot Spitzer pissed off the wrong people.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, the insurance companies, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all about what sticks. Bush, as dumb as he may be, he's smart enough not to piss off the people that matter.
Well, no, those are the people that he refers to, Kevin, as his base.
Exactly. And that's the whole and the beginning of it. Elliot Spitzer, even though they've been weakened and a lot of that money's been transferred from out of Wall Street banks to private equity firms, you know, he pissed off Wall Street. He got rid of Grasso and the rest of those guys. And that whole culture, they've been hungry for him for years.
And they always figured that they would get their, that he would get his comeuppance. I don't get all broke up about a guy going to a hooker. I think prostitution ought to be legal.
I'm saying, yeah. You know, obviously his wife ain't doing it, so, you know, you go seek it elsewhere. You know.
Now, see, I wasn't going to go there, but, you know, I knew somebody would.
But I tell you this, when you go after the people that Spritzer went after, during that time you're going after, and while you're in power, you need to be as clean as a whistle.
Yeah, I knew a guy once upon a time who said that if you're going to be a champion, or if you're going to, he said, you, and his phrase was, you've got to keep your shield clean.
Exactly. And you know what? If I was Spritzer, I would have had a serious talk with my wife and say, look, I need you to handle some business in the bedroom. I don't care if you have to put on wigs, garter belts, high heels, whatever. But
oh, we're heading for the gutter early tonight, Kevin.
but you know, because these people will play for dirty. I'm pretty sure that Bush was.
Well, that's the thing. The details aren't out. They're not entirely out, and the fact that Spitzer came out and did it and announced it first sort of indicates that he's going to beat them to the punch.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, they're already asking, you know, the Republican minority leader here is already asking for his head to resign. And I don't know what's going to happen with that and how it's going to play itself out.
Well, you know, if I was Spitzer, I'd say, look, okay, fine, I'll resign precisely one minute after all the Republicans who've had affairs like this resign too. Hey, David Vitters, down in Louisiana with your diaper on, buddy, you go ahead and resign, and I'm right behind you.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, there are very few Bill Clintons out there who can take that kind of heat.
Yeah, but that's the thing with this country, Kevin. Why is this heat? Why is this not his business? Well, he was breaking the law.
They're looking at every angle. The fact that, okay, he paid her 44, because I'm watching MSNBC as we speak, and Chris Matthews was like, well, you know, this should be a front to working people, because this guy spent $4,500 on this hooker. And, you know, people who are living, for what, since Chris Matthews was a champion of the people?
Well, you know, if Chris Matthews could have sex, you know, it would be a different issue, but he's clearly got issues. Chris Matthews, with his pants furrowed.
Well,
so
this
forth.
Is the guy who has other men give him the willies. What was it? His underwear gets.
No, he gets a furrow in his trousers. Yeah, and you forget though that the smell of Fred Thompson turned him on too.
Oh yeah, so.
Now I'm not saying there's anything abnormal along those lines. I'm saying that Chris probably just can't do it at all. I mean, yeah, he's just.
Oh yeah, but
he's one of those people Viagra won't even help.
Oh yeah. It's just that it's about what sticks, and you know, like I said, if Bush was caught out there with two underage Girl Scouts, nothing would happen. I know Fox News wouldn't be reporting it.
No, absolutely not.
Because, you know, the right people are his base.
Look, if a Republican got caught going to a hooker and just having something fairly ordinary, some sort of fairly ordinary sex that didn't involve children or farm animals or, you know, diapers or whippings or beatings or something, the Republican Party would throw, well, they'd throw a big celebration because one of theirs was actually behaving something resembling
a human being.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they love Fred Thompson so much.
Yeah, because he's got the, yeah, right. I'm trying to stay out of the gutter here, you understand.
Well, you know, hey, it's all fun and games to me at this point.
But, you know, no, you've got, let's see, you've got, wait, going back a ways, you've got Newt Gingrich, who handed divorce papers to a wife while she was on her bed recovering, on her hospital bed recovering from cancer.
Well, she died. It was on her deathbed.
No, she didn't die. She got divorced. I don't think she died from it. Or maybe she did, but it was way later. But anyway, and then at the same time that he's castigating Bill Clinton in the Lewinsky affair, he's banging his own intern like a cheap Chinese gong. So he has to step down. And they get David Livingston from Louisiana to step in, who, it turns out, was basically going to the same brothels as Jimmy Swaggart. So he can't do it. So they get Denny the Sweaty Wrestler Hastert, who has allegations in his background of sort of having an interest in young boys while he was being a wrestling coach.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's, of course, David Vitters, and oh, it goes on and on and on, and Larry Craig, you know, I mean, the Republican, hey, I'm guessing that when Elliot Spitzer went to the hooker, they probably, like, did it in the bed and stuff, and not in the bathroom like Larry Craig.
Oh, yeah, stamping his feet.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, I don't get Larry Kidd. Okay,
here's a legitimate question, Kevin. If a guy goes to Nevada and has sex with a hooker in Nevada where it's legal, is it a big deal?
I don't know. It depends on if he's married or not. If he's married. And the question is,
really, isn't it all a matter of private consensual sexual conduct as long as it's all adults and no farm animals?
Yeah, but, you know, paying for sex in Washington, in most states, is illegal.
Right.
And, that's an interesting question you brought up. What if Spitzer just went to Nevada and visited, like, the Bunny Ranch or one of those places?
Yeah.
Would he have been busted? Probably, yeah.
Well, I think he would, yeah, because, like you said, I think he's pissed off the wrong people. But if it's something there, then you go, hey, it's legal conduct, you know, piss off. It's between me and my wife.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that, well, I'm not going to engage in that kind of stuff, because the sad thing is, this will be used to negate every good thing Elliot Spitzer has done, and he's done a lot of good things. On the other hand, there's Larry Craig and David Vitters, and they've never done a decent thing in their entire legislative careers.
They're holding on to their seats.
Yeah, and they'll get reelected.
I have a feeling Larry Craig won't, but David Vitters will.
Yeah, well, that's possible. But see, it's Idaho, you know, so Larry Craig really could get reelected.
I think because Idaho, like when the further west in that region, they're very homophobic.
I mean, you gotta love the
fact. According to gay sex, which out there, it's an ambassador. Delta's probably replacing with another Republican.
I gotta love the, you know, you gotta love the fact that the guy is the senator from Idaho.
Oh, yeah. Thank God he wasn't from New York or Jersey or California. One of those manly states, you know.
but any state with the syllable "ho" in it, who's got toe tap and Larry for a senator, you know, it's the work of the god of irony, Kevin.
Oh yeah, but what's making me laugh is Idaho's considered one of those, you know, manly states, you know, Marlboro country and all that stuff, and you know it was. like the way a lot of these red states think, if it was New York and California, well, what do you expect there from New York and California?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just they're having sex everywhere there. I mean, you can't, you got to step around them. I mean, you got to throw cold water on them to break them up. There's just sex all over the place.
Exactly.
Liberal states like New York and California.
Yeah. But like Idaho, you know, that's all the earth and all this other nonsense.
Oh yeah, that's one of those good Christian states where the women lie back and think of England and say things to themselves while it's going on, like beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
exactly.
Oh Lord, yeah, I'm gonna get in trouble. This is just, you're taking me down the wrong road, Kevin.
Yeah, but it's the truth, though. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But this is also a smokescreen for stuff that actually matters. Like, I mean, really. Okay, Kevin, let's play a little game here. You are the web page editor for CNN.
Yeah.
Here's your two choices for top story of the day. Politician gets caught with prostitute, or oil tops $108 a barrel. Now, you know...
Other option. Politician gets caught with prostitute.
Yeah, well, it's the oldest maxim in politics, isn't it? The only thing that could take him down is getting caught with either a live boy or a dead girl.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, Blackwater has killed how many people in Iraq today?
Yeah. Oh, but look, I mean, the $108 a barrel oil, somehow that's got resonance for me. I mean, and I'm thinking it's got resonance for just about anybody who has to purchase gasoline, which is virtually every human being on this planet over the age of 18, or in this country over the age of 18.
Not me.
Yeah, I know. Rub it in. Rub it in.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what can I say?
But you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There is real news out there. There's a story about hearing loss among returning veterans. There's another story about poisonous water in Iraq, and lo and behold, there's a story about poisonous water in the United States.
Oh yeah.
What do we get? Politician caught with hooker.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the old saying when from the Armor hot dog jingle? When dog bites man, it's news they say, but when kid bites dog, they yell hooray for armor hot dogs. This is a dog bites man story. This is boring. But because he's a Democrat, they got to run it out there. Cause, you know, we don't get busted, in sex situations just a whole lot, because mostly we like to have sex with adults, other adults, you know, not farm animals, and generally not in the salacious kind of stuff that right-wing church-going repiglicans like to tend to get off on.
Well, according to that other guy, pastor, the one who got caught with the methamphetamine.
No, yeah, the Crystal Methodist, Haggard, Ted Haggard.
Yeah.
Who's all cured of his gay now. He got over that case of gay that he caught.
Well, according to him, Christians do have the most fun sex, so I guess it's true.
And you know why it's fun for them? It's fun for them because they think God thinks it's dirty, and all they got to do it is then ask for forgiveness, and it's all, hey, baby, let's make some more whoopee again next week.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you the chills, doesn't it, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's all drug-induced, dude. I don't know. I don't know.
It's gonna be fun. Well, you know, we'll just have to watch and see how this shakes out. Kevin, good to hear from you, brother.
Okay, stay here.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our good friend Kevin from Brooklyn. And you know, we play, but the fact is, what Kevin started off with is very, very true. Elliot Spitzer has pissed off a whole lot of the wrong people, and those people have really, really interesting Rolodexes. And that's probably why it happened. Should he resign? I mean, let's talk about this and then get over it and move on to some stuff that actually matters. Should Elliot Spitzer resign? Hell no. Frankly, you know, where all these sex stories are concerned, I'm always in favor of the guy coming out and say, I did it and so would you. Because a lot of guys would. Or in his case, to come out and say, yes, I had sex with another consenting adult and there were no children involved and no farm animals, so obviously I'm a Democrat. What did Virgil say in the Aeneid? Ooh, there. How about that? Talking about salacious 21st century political sex stories, where does Bob dip into? Yeah, that's right, the classics. That's why a classical education is always so good. What did Virgil say in the Aeneid? Fortune favors the bold. It was Virgil, and I think it was the Aeneid. Somebody said it about 2,500 years ago, or 2,200, 2,000 years ago. Fortune favors the bold. So you take the bull by the horns, and you... Don't say horns in this story, Bob. You come out... Don't say come out, Bob. You hold a press conference. Yeah, okay, I think we're all right there. And you say... Yeah, I did it, and it was my business, and not yours, and good day. Really, and you know, the overarching issue that I think is a fitting topic for conversation, not that I'm some sort of gatekeeper, but it's the overall issue of prostitution. As it is currently constituted, in states where prostitution is illegal, you see the women and men who work in that industry being subject to abuse. Whether it is women being beaten by their pimps, or drug addiction, or any of the other myriad horrors that go along with it. Insane working hours? Sexually transmitted diseases? On the other hand, you regulate it, you license it, you make the girls and the guys go for regular medical exams, you enforce safe sex practices, and boom! A lot of problems end. State gets a cut on the tax, on the tax end of it. Don't say end in this one, Bob. I can't figure out why prostitution is illegal. Unless, of course, you are willing to admit that this country is run by its religious hierarchy. Because every law against prostitution is generated by some legislator acting upon his or her religious convictions. And then they go out and get a hooker. Gosh, it wouldn't be nearly as fun if it was legal either, would it? Because it wouldn't have the cachet of, ooh, this is dirty. I'm just a weirdo this way. I don't think sex is dirty. I don't think just about anything that two adults consent to, even if it's the stuff that David Vitters was into, is dirty. I think it probably comes from a place in the human psyche that was for which the individual is probably not responsible. You know, for all we know, David Vitters has a diaper fetish because he was potty trained at gunpoint. Maybe he likes to call the hooker mama, too. Okay, anybody getting hurt? You know, in a legalized, regulated setting, even the sex worker can go to counseling and say, well, I had a couple of weird ones this week, doc. And he goes, well, yeah, you did, but you know what? You're going to be fine because it wasn't real, was it? No, it wasn't. Can you tell the difference between fantasy and reality? Sure can. All right, good on you. Go along your way. But no, we had here in weird-ass, hung-up, kinked-up America, the fundamentalists can't have fun with it unless they think it's dirty. Anybody ever seen the refrigerator scene from 9 1/2 weeks?
Whoa.
And yet, it's surprisingly tame by Republican standards. I mean, no goats, no sheep, no chickens. I don't know why this is an issue. And I really don't, I don't know that much about how Spitzer's gubernatorial run has been to know whether he's been a success or a failure or some combination of the two or somewhere in the middle. But I think he deserves to be judged on his job performance. I mean, if the CEO of a big defense contractor, using his own money, goes and gets a hooker, isn't that his business? Well, how's a governor different? Okay, he vowed to defend the Constitution of the state of New York, and, well, he broke the law. Oh, Jesus. Are we actually going to have a conversation about whether or not Elliot Spitzer broke the law by hooking up with a hooker when George Bush started a war and a subsequent occupation illegally? Are we really going to have that conversation? Is America going to go there? Yeah, it probably will, because America will be led there by the so-called professional media that would never dream of comparing something as evil and vile and nasty as going to a hooker with the Christian practice of slaughtering innocents in Iraq. No. That's why we're here. That's why there's a horn. That's why the Head On Radio Network exists. That's why there's conversation radio. Because ain't nobody else going to talk about things this frankly, this bluntly, or this front porchily. Ooh, porchily? Looks like we're going to give the English language another run for its money tonight. Seriously. Now, on the other hand, I do regret the fact that the Repiglicans have been given this ammunition. And while it should be a matter of personal conscience and personal choice, if you're a politician and you're riding around in the public spotlight, how do you get it through your... And you got to have some brains to have gotten in the office in the first place. And his stint as Attorney General of New York clearly showed that Elliot Spitzer was no dummy. So what, and again, this is and isn't this convenient? Isn't this convenient in the political spotlight? Because a man having consensual sex with somebody lets us go back and make comparisons to, come on, Bill Clinton. Of course, I rode that whole damn thing out too. Persistently saying, somebody explain to me how this is my business. Of course, I wasn't on the air then either, but, I had lots of conversations at, high school basketball games and grocery store lines and the post office and the gas pump and stuff. Because I think he should be took out and shot because he had sex with that intern. She was just a baby. And you got to look at her and go, no, stupid. She was a full-grown adult female who made an informed, consensual choice. They both did, and it ain't none of our business. The only people whose business it is Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton. Come on, anybody, doggone it, we need some sort of more instantaneous means in the... on the website to do this kind of thing. We need things like office pools. How long before the first so-called professional media broadcast reference to Bill Clinton? We can't have one of those because this story's been out there for a couple of hours now, and I guarantee you, as sure as God made little green apples and they'll give you the turtle squirts, it has already been mentioned. on MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, yada, yada, yada. I guarantee you the comparison has already been made between Elliot Spitzer and Bill Clinton. I have no direct knowledge. I am speculating only. But I guarantee you it has already been said. It's already been done. Yeah, Lottie in the chat room says, Bob, when was O'Reilly on? So that's, you know, I guess that's a starting place tonight, or maybe we're done with it. Whatever you want to do, okay? Because I try to make it abundantly clear that this ain't necessarily about me setting the agenda. It's as much about you setting it and you bringing the stories on that you think that matter. Because you're paying attention, too. This is a conversation. That's one of the things that separates the horn from other attempts at liberal talk. I actually think you guys are as competent to do this as I am. And I know that you're tuned in, and I know that you're plugged in, and I know that you're following stuff. And I love it when you guys bring stories that I haven't seen or heard about, and I get informed. It's kind of what makes it cool in my book. So, you know, or we can talk about Spitzer some more. Any way you want to do this. So, figure it out. I'm personally sort of engaged by the idea of the $108 plus a barrel oil. Whoa. I mean, that just sort of blows my doors off. I can't admit. Wow. What's that gonna do to the? I mean, I'm already paying something on the order of $3.30 a gallon. What's $108 a barrel oil do? I don't think it's going to. And you know, there are. It's not just what you pay at the pump. It's what the guy who drives the truck that brings you your food and your clothing pays at the pump. And we all pay and pay and pay and pay. Well, we'll take a little break. Just a little musical interlude. Be right back. This is The Horn.
Gotta shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker. And I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. She don't do it, I know her sister will. Gotta shake your money maker, shake your money maker. Shake your money maker, shake that money maker, shake your money maker, and then try like it's not. I got a gal and she just won't be true. I got a gal and she just won't be true. Got good friends, she won't do a thing I tell her to. She won't shake her money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker, shake your money maker, and then try like it's not.
shake your mind and anger. Throw your agitator with that be related. Gotta shake your money maker and then dry like this now. I got a gal, she lives up on the hill. I got a gal and she lives up on the hill. Said she's gonna love me, but I don't believe she will. You gotta shake your money maker, shake your money maker. Roll your agitator with that money maker. You gotta shake your money maker, and then one more time for me, honey.
Just too tough a choice to make. I mean, when you got Can't Do Chain doing Shake Your Money Maker, or the amazing Rhythm Aces doing Third Rate Romance, Low Rent Rendezvous, and you got a story about, you know, a politician and a hooker, that's too tough. So you play them both. Sorry. I mean, they're great songs, too. I mean, for heaven's sakes. And you know what my favorite line out of Third Rate Romance is? It's when they sign in at the Family Inn. Because I just think about all the Republicans out there who have, you know, gathered up their diapers and their whips and their chains and their, you know, the candles with the hot wax and all the stuff that, you know, because they can't, but, and they go to the Family Values Inn. meanwhile, the governor of New York just has sex. Consensually. And the media gets shut down over it. Let's go to the phones. Susan's calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
What's up?
Well, I have heard reports that gas is selling in California for $5 a gallon.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this just the insta gouge, or is this the steady upward progress?
I'm not sure. Have to wait and see. The same reason I called in, though, was Media Matters is reporting the latest flip-flop from dear old McFain. He flip-flopped on immigration now.
Hasn't he already done that? I mean, this would be a flip-flop. This would be a flip-flop flip at this point.
Yeah, you know, that wonderfully principled immigration stance that he took that got him in so much hot water.
Yeah, with the haters.
Yeah, well, he flip-flopped on it.
Now he's scared. Now he's scared of the demon brown people.
Yes, now he's scared of the demon brown. Oh God! Yeah. And he's also kicked off the states of California, Washington, and Kansas to the point where he's liable to lose them. Because he killed that Boeing contract.
Since I got enlightened a little bit by our pal Michelle, the gal from Cal, I've done some reading on that. And while, you know, he didn't, McCain, now it can't be said that McCain, you know, killed the boat. No. What he did was sponsor legislation that made it possible.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I understand that really well. What really killed it was Boeing. But McCain makes a really good scapegoat for the people who are the 9,000 people in Washington alone.
Hey, anybody that wants to come on in and loathe McCain some more, I'm not willing to go so far as to say the enemy of my enemy is my friend, because that makes for some really, really ugly, intense situations. But, you know, pointing out McCain as a profoundly flawed individual and what's more, a screw up. I'm all for that. You know, we've been looking at these Bush comparisons, Susan, and I think you and I talked a little bit about this along the way. I came up with another one this afternoon when I was reading an email from our buddy Tosh, and I realized that. Son of privilege, legacy admission, you know, just like, but there's so many. Well, there's another one. Rotten pilot.
Yeah.
Rotten pilot, just like Bush.
Bail out Bush! Only he didn't manage to bail out. He went down with the plane.
Well, George, this George never crashed.
Yeah, I know.
But no, you've got two bad pilots in a row. So the hits just keep on coming.
Oh yeah, it's like I have this image in my head of here is the great big Kennebunkport mansion with the lights glowing inside. You know, it's twilight. And it's cold outside, and here outside is this little waif with his nose pressed up against the glass, saying, let me in, I'm just like you, and it's McCain.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, we...
little matchbox boy.
So, you know, and here I am, I've been suckered in, but we're, you know, $5 a gallon gas... We're on our way to $5 a gallon milk,
uh-huh.
$4 a loaf bread,
Oh, I'm already planning on hoarding flour so I can make my own stupid bread. When I go down to do my monthly shopping, I'm going to be buying flour in bulk and storing it in my freezer.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Of course, when I make bread here, it takes a whole regular size package of flour to do enough bread for this tribe. So I don't know how effectively I could hoard, but no, I get the idea. Hey, Susan, have a wonderful evening. All right.
You too.
All right, take it easy.
Okay.
Sure thing. Bye.
Bye.
And we'll just keep things rolling along here. Hey, who have I got?
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, David, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that, a few things. A few different things. I vow never to talk about McCain, Obama, Hillary again, and I'll tell you why, Bob.
Well, you can talk about McCain because McCain's the problem.
Oh, I know, but I'll tell you why. Because there's so many writers out there that put so many stories. And I figure we owe them at least that if they're writing good stories and articles out there.
Yeah, bring good stuff to light.
Yeah, that, and I would encourage others to do the same too, because there's I've seen so many bloggers and so many leave also, because that's the reality. Nobody's talking about what they're doing. They're like, well, I'm out of here. I was going to talk about the $108 gallon of gas. I see OPEC expects no changes until the end of 2008. And I just think, wow, what a setup. Till 2008, huh? All the way till the end of 2008. What a coincidence that is. Isn't that when the oil man leaves?
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we don't...
No, wait. We have a... let's see, where it's verbs, we've got a person problem here. It's the oil men.
Oh, yeah, the oil men. Yeah, I think there's a big discrepancy that we can't have any dialogue or discussion with these people in their towers and just answer to OPEC and be like, okay, that sounds good. And I just want to know how long before people throw down the gas tanks and go. I don't think so. I'm just wondering what that number is. I don't think
David. I've pondered that a lot. I don't think that number exists.
I think there's a number, because you have to understand America comes from a really privileged, entitled society. And I think there is a number where they don't understand other countries that have prices have skyrocketing prices and the like of that. I think there is a number, but
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I think this is a more intriguing inquiry, and I'm not gooning on your question.
Yeah.
But my inquiry is, would the American people go for it if somebody promised them stabilized gas prices at a stated per gallon value in exchange for nationalizing our oil industry?
You know what? They probably would.
If we said, we'll nationalize the oil industry, we'll take the profit out of the oil business, and you will have $2 a gallon gas for the next 5 years.
Are you talking about socialized gasoline?
Yeah, that's precisely what I'm talking about, David.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're going to market it as, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because I've always said that the people at the very top, the thing they idolized about socialism was how far the socialist leaders got, but they wanted to be the same type of force, in the same type of, with more brute force than any leader ever done before, as long as they're number one.
Well, but what does it? This is an inquiry, David, about the American people.
Yeah.
This is, you want to know, if it goes to $10 a gallon, do the American people go, screw it, this is ridiculous. and start polishing up the horse and buggy? Huh. We don't live in a society where a horse and buggy can well, let's put it this way. Okay, stupid little example from my petty little life. A couple of years back, when I took the boy with me and we went down to take his grandfather, my father, home to Alabama to, for a little while.
Right.
I took him on a little excursion to see a little bit of the area of the world that I was born and grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been studying Helen Keller in school, so I took him over to Tuscumbia, Alabama, and just to sort of recreate the idea for him, because, you know, he's a car kid. You know, he's grown up in the fast, fast world. I said, here's what we're going to do, because he knew the story about how Captain Keller went to the train station in Tuscumbia and picked up Annie Sullivan, her teacher, and took her back to Ivy Green.
Right.
Well, I drove from Ivy Green to the train station at, you know, posted speed limits, 35 miles an hour. I said, now what we're going to do is we're going to go from the train station to Ivy Green at horse and buggy speed. And basically, I just took my foot off the accelerator and let the idle of the engine take us up the road. He was like, okay, Dad, enough of this.
Yeah.
This is too slow.
Uh-huh.
And it took us, you know, it took us a good 15 minutes, you know, where it had taken us, you know, four before, it took 15 minutes to get from the train station to Ivy Green. And America is not going to tolerate that until America is compelled to tolerate that. Because the person who has, if you think about it, the person who has no mass transit and has a 45-minute commute could not get back and forth to work at all, because he would be a day's journey from work.
Well, then how about this? The guy who throws the gasoline can and says he won't be saying enough of this. He'll be saying, I just can't pay. I'm just wondering when that point comes where people just can't pay, and it's not even worth going to the area of work that they're currently employed at.
When David, when a let's say a heroin addict, when a heroin addict can't afford his heroin anymore, does he cut back on heroin, or does he cut back on electricity, or does he cut back on personal hygiene, or everything gets cut back before, David, before the abused substance gets cut back. Again, this is William S. Burroughs from Naked Lunch and the Algebra of Need.
Right. A lot more carpooling.
America will cut back on the food on its dinner table. America will cut back on new clothing for its children. America will cut back on heat. America will cut back on everything before we will cut back on the fuel that goes into the car. We will divert our resources. We will divert our incomes into the fuel tank of the automobile before we will change our habits.
That's true. I agree with you.
And I mean, when the lady who works at the cosmetics counter at the local mall 35 miles away and drives there in her big gas guzzling SUV every morning with just one person in it, and when it's $9-$10 a gallon to fill that thing up, and it gets 8 miles to the gallon, and her trip to and from work costs her more in a day than she makes.
Yeah.
What is she going to do? She's going to divert resources into the fuel tank. Because we're junked up, man. We're not allowed to have I think it's appropriate. I've heard some criticism, but I think it's appropriate to talk, David, about our oil consumption, our fossil fuel consumption, to talk about it in terms of an addiction.
Oh, without a doubt. And I've been checking out some message boards, and a lot of things that I keep hearing are work hours, everything in a lot of different areas of the United States are being restructured and rearranged all because of this the gas prices and the gas problem. And a lot of people are finding themselves landlocked. And it's what you were saying about how much some people just can't because it's not worth it. So what they end up doing is they end up staying home and looking for other avenues until.
Now, if we had any common sense in this country, this is the wake up call. I mean, this isn't even a wake up call. This is the klaxon going off on the aircraft carrier with the kamikazes bearing down on it. The aruga, aruga, ang. You know, this is that. The noise alone will knock you out of your slumber. If we were willing to respond to it, look at how many people have jobs that actually, if you really get down and think about it, Dave, how many people have jobs that actually require them to be in an office space? Most people who aren't, I mean, most people in the so-called service economy, do their jobs from behind a computer. Why can't they stay home and do those jobs?
I think it has to do with a sense of control in a lot of areas of employment.
Oh, we're going to start giving out toasters again tonight, and I tell you, you just got the first one.
Yeah,
we can't let them stay home and work. I mean, they won't work. How are we going to keep an eye on them? How are we going to maintain supervision of them?
It's no coincidence why we made our office areas like a rat's maze.
Sure.
How is it?
Yeah, and it's no surprise that we gave up on offices and went to cubicles because, you know, cubicles don't have roofs and you can sort of peer down into them.
It's also psychological to see your boss's office and have it all in glass, not be able to see what he's saying, but it's just a psychological effect just to see him in there. I wonder what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Wonder why he looks mad.
Behind that argument, we haven't made any kind of a significant commitment because it's a private industry. Private enterprise can solve all the problems. We have broadband internet access here, David, that allows us to do this program. But you know what?
Yeah.
It doesn't extend another 100 feet down my road. I mean, we just happen to be in the place it could come to.
You know, I have that problem talking about with the private industry with conservatives, and they always come across the, well, you got to make money, and see, they're under the impression that their businesses made money in the first 10 minutes they were put online.
Yeah, duh, no.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
And see, there's historical precedent for this stuff, David. But nobody bothers to learn history anymore. Way, way, way back when, and I mean, I remember my mother telling me stories about it from her little girlhood because they lived even further out the road than we do now.
Yeah.
They had electricity in their homes, and they had electricity in their homes that was brought to them by virtue of what were Delco batteries. Okay?
Mm.
They had DC current running through their house that was battery power. And that was the way it was with a lot of rural America because for-profit power companies wouldn't bring them it's not profitable for us to run the electric lines out there. So the federal government got together and they put together something called the REA, the Rural Electrification Act.
Right.
And the federal government said, okay, well, we're going to spend taxpayer dollars and we're going to take the electric grid out to rural areas so people can have reliable, non-battery-based, because the companies that were selling the batteries were making a killing on them.
I mentioned that in the Joe Republican letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the power companies went, oh, wait a minute, you're going to go into business against us and you're going to undercut us? Wait a minute. Hey, look, we just got some new numbers back from the accounting department. It turns out it's profitable for us to take electricity to rural areas after all. We do the same thing with broadband.
Yeah, I know. There is... Like I was
or we would, before. Except for the fact that nobody remembers the REA.
Bob, when you go back far enough, I mean, we can talk about the fact that it costs money to be on the airwaves on FM and AM when it really shouldn't if someone's not using that part of the dial. If you can set up a tower for yourself, you shouldn't have to get a license or anything like that. These are constant, like, through-the-hoop type moments. The dog... The tiger through the hoop or whatever, the lion through the hoop, that kind of thing, or the dolphin through the hoop, whatever analogy you want to use. But that's the kind of thing. It's just constant one thing after the other when really no one really owns the airwaves, Bob. I don't care what anyone says. No one does. If you're not
No, these are ancient legal fictions. One of the earliest
I know.
One of the earliest legal fictions is in property law is an oldie. I can't remember the name of the case, but you know, from Court of King's Bench or something. You know, 600 years ago, where they declared that if you owned the land, you owned the air above the land.
Right.
And the idea of public airwaves literally flows out of that line of cases.
You know, it's so ridiculous, though. You flip the dial on an FM station, and think how many lines of static you get. And all of that is just free space.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's like, give me a break. It's so transparent now. The other thing I wanted to mention before I go was, I don't know if you're going to talk about it tonight, but the YouTuber who put up the Bush at the Gridiron, he snuck in.
No, I haven't seen that yet. I went looking for it, and I didn't find it.
You know what? Go to Ross Story.
Where Bush sang for his supper.
Yeah, yeah, and it shows the YouTube video, and just, He actually got it on his cell phone, and just as he was hiding. I mean, he's so out of tune while he's singing "Green Green Grass of Home." I was amazed that even Helen Thomas was at this function, and she pretended to be Condi Rice. And I don't know. To me, there's a point for doing theater, and I don't even know why you would want to associate yourself with these people. To tell you the truth, I'm kind of like. Well, I guess.
Because you want to show, well, you know, no hard feelings. We're all friends here.
I know, but Helen Thomas is like, what, 80?
90.
She should know better than this. Well, I guess, but I guess people want their personality out there. They want to be seen as festive and fun and entertaining for the D.C. circuit. But, yeah, I would really appreciate if you could get that clip and play it for the people who don't know about it.
How's the audio? Is it any good, or do I need to monkey with it?
I don't think the audio is that bad. I think it's mostly the video anyway, so you're pretty much all in luck anyways.
Okay, great. David, thanks so much.
You can understand all the words. They're all audible anyway.
Cool. I'm sure somebody will find the link and send it to me so I don't have to sit here and
go
searching.
I'll send it to you right now.
Okay, great. Thanks, David.
All right, later.
Bye now.
Peace.
Yeah, this was the what, the Gridiron Dinner? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's take a minute and another little musical interlude going into the top of the hour. If you're on hold, please stay that way. We'll come right back to you, and we'll get this audio loaded, because I read transcripts of it that's just, you know, sort of eye-bugging. This is America's liberal voice, America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
Leroy, boy, is that you? I thought your post-hanging days were through. Sunken eyes and full of sighs, tell no lies. You get wise. I tell you now, we're gonna pull you through. There's only one thing left that we can do. Say how and I'll say when. Come and meet me down the street. Take a seat. It's my treat. You may not ever get this chance again. That empty field is just about to end. We gotta get you a woman. It's like the special one. They may be stupid, but they sure are fun. I'll give it to you while we're on the run, because we ain't got time to get this thing together. Cause woman who has been around, one who knows better than to let you down. Let's hope there's still one left in this whole town, and that she'll take some time to get this.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, this is getting too easy. I'll try to find something else to bump with later. I know there's a couple of people out there that just despise Todd Rundgren, too, so yeah. Sometimes I get to poke with the shark stick back. 5 minutes past the hour, hour number two, head on, I'm Bob. And we'll just keep things rolling on the keel that we're on, and whatever you want to talk about is fine by me. And hi, who have I got?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
How you been?
I've been good. How about you, Bob?
Well, I was just enjoying the music there.
Yeah, some good tunes, huh?
Well, I got me a woman.
Nah, you got a dandy.
Oh, well.
I got a dandy, too.
Yeah. Hey, but the thing is, you know, this is kind of getting a little bit weird.
Oh, Bob, if you think it's weird now, it's going to get even more fun.
No, it is. So strange that, you know, hey, the Republicans got their man. They got their man out there. He's out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and here the Democrats, the cats in the bag are not fighting anymore. Well, the cats in the bag, yeah, we got all the cats herded into the bag. Finally, we got them in the bag. Oh, we finally got our heads together as liberals, Bob.
No. I'm not talking about the internal squabbling and I'm just rejecting that for the time being.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that one. But it is stupidity itself, Bob. Stupidity itself. We have to come together. Either we come together and work for a better nation, or we just let it fall into. You were talking about $10 a gallon for gas. Well, it'll get there. It'll get there if you just keep, you know, trying to herd the cap into the bag, and you don't listen to this guy because his ideas aren't good enough. And well, hey, George has got the better word. You know, you just keep playing the same.
Oh, don't forget, John McCain's going to keep us safe from the terrorists. Don't forget that one, Bob.
Well, okay. I would try to put some kind of sense to nonsense, but there is no sense to this nonsense unless you step outside of the box and just think outside of the box. Think outside of it. They have played us for suckers again. We have Obama and Hillary. Okay, flip a coin. You get Obama or you get Hillary. It doesn't matter. They have set it up to where, you know, now it's a black man arguing with a white woman and a white woman just slashing a black man. Come on, let's stop it. We went through that in the 60s.
Yeah, right? And yeah.
But again, while I brought it up with regard to another issue, REA, this is another another situation where it relates generally, Bob, to our inability to hang on to a historical precedent for more times than it. Oh, look, a squirrel, huh? What were we talking about? You know, we have no attention span in this country, and sometimes I think that we have been taught and trained in that direction, and those of us who do have a historical perspective are certainly, and this is not me blowing my own horn, but we are certainly in the minority.
Dang it, I hate it when you blow the horn.
Yeah.
No. Please don't blow the horn up. Oh, Glenda's out here. She says, huh? I'm talking to Bob Kincaid. And Glenda says, huh? Who are you talking to?
Hey, to Glenda.
And I said, okay, listen, all right, for a moment. Just a moment. I said a while back, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a year, maybe two. It's been confusing lately. I said, stand up. Stand. Just take a stand. Stand there and say no more. I'm tired of this stuff that I keep hearing from the mainstream media. I don't hear it on the Internet. I can't find anybody on the Internet that disagrees with you or Mike Malloy or Jeff Farias or even Randy. Randy is who she is. But the thing is, Bob, we haven't got a base. We don't have a base. We have, people, we don't have a real place where we're coming from. And that's what they're talking about. Oh, I said the base. I must have said Al Qaeda. Oh, my God. Send the FBI out to Bob's house and, you know, check him out because he said the base. See, that's how stupid people are.
Mm-hmm.
They think if you say a word, that word somehow interferes with their thinking. They believe they have the answers. And, Bob, you and I know that you don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. Mike Malloy always says, I don't have the answers. I got a hell of a lot of questions. I don't have any answers. But if we work together, we can find an answer, a solution, something that works better than what we got going right now. So stop trying to ask someone else for the answer and work with them to find the goddamn solution to the problem. And the problem is that we can't work together. All we do is fight. You fight with me, I fight with you, I don't agree with what you say, you don't agree with what I say. Well, wait a minute.
Bob, I'll agree with you to a certain extent, except for the fact that I'm not.
You're not fighting.
I'm not part of this. I keep trying to divert the attention deficit disorder class's the focus back over to who the problem is, and the problem is John McCain.
The problem is.
It's not the black guy or the white woman. Okay, the problem is John McCain, the white
the
guy.
The problem is John McCain and those that support that ideology.
Yes, Bob, yes, 1,000 times yes. They are the problem, not just John McCain, the people who support him. Because the people who support John McCain, you know, when you support John McCain, that means you support the continued Iraq-cupation. That means that you support not having health care for every American. That means you support feeding tainted beef to school children. Everything this rotten, filthy, corrupt administration has pulled off for the last long, yea, verily, oh my God, long 8 years, he wants to continue, perpetuate, and expand. And there are people out there going, me too, I think he's a good, godly man, he's a hero.
Don't forget, you know, the mother too that came before, you know, there was that Reagan fella, and then there was that other one that there was.
Oh, yeah, it's a continuum, but I'm just talking about, again, I'm talking about the attention deficit disorder crowd that can't remember what it had for lunch last week. In other words, the American public. So, you know, God forbid I should talk about Nixon or Ford or Reagan to them. They think Reagan was around about the same time as Julius Caesar. I'm lucky if I can get... My God, it's the fifth anniversary of this stinking Iraq occupation.
Well, hey, the only thing else we have to look forward to is the death of the planet. You know, if you think ahead of the game and not, we're outside the box, Bob. We look at it from with logic, maybe a little bit of forethought, and think, okay, what if I do this, then what happens? Okay? We think as liberals that if I hug a tree, maybe the tree will live, but it's dying in my backyard. We go out and we try to make a change. They don't want change, Bob. They don't want anything to be different tomorrow. They want it to be the same as it was yesterday.
Because they live in a that's the thing with a so-called conservative, or, you know, hell, let's just call them Republicans. That's what they are. They are scared. They live in a perpetual state of fear, Bob, okay? It just is what it is.
You know what I'd love to see?
What's that?
This argument or this debate. And I'd love to see a real debate. A debate on not only common sense, but science and facts, Bob. I'd love to see somebody lay down a few facts in front of me and say, okay, these are the facts, ma'am. We want nothing but, kind of like the old dragnet theory,
Yeah, just the facts, ma'am, sure.
Nothing but the facts, okay? I don't want to hear about who hit John. I just want the facts. I would love to hear that kind of a debate, but all we hear about is how Hillary slandered Obama. And
I don't even want to bring it up.
I don't even understand. And the argument, Bob. There is no argument. There's just this. It's like
that's all I hear anymore.
And it's kind of like that one with Randy Rose when the gal stuck her fingers in her ears and said, "Nanny, I can't hear you," because she didn't want to listen. And I want to listen, but I also want to hear something of substance, something with some value, and not what I've been listening to for these, low on to so many years, Bob. I want to hear something of substance, something with value, not this garbage. Remember back when they were talking about the values and, the values or family values and all the family crap.
Yeah.
But they don't care about values or crap or family. They think of values of the family as the CRAP. I'm sorry I used a bad word.
No sweat.
But it is just that simple. If you take those emotions out of the argument, just take the emotions out of the black woman, the white man, the black man and the white woman. See, same difference. I just threw it into a different block of thinking. The white man with the black woman, the black man with the white woman. It is all into the individual. And as an individual, I could care less about the person. I do value, though, that person that I'm going to vote for should have some substance, Bob.
You'd like for that? Yeah, sure.
Have substance. Wait.
I don't think there's an absence of substance, Bob, on the part of our candidates. I think there is an absence of a means by which they can convey that substance. Because again, look at the Look at the way the Spitzer story is. Mayor spent $4,500 on a hooker. Did you know John Edwards spent $400 on a haircut? Yeah, there is more than a simple dollar value. Like when we talk about oil, Bob, when we talk about $108 a barrel oil, well, that doesn't seem, you know, it's kind of a vacuous sort of statistic. What does $108 a barrel oil mean, however? It means gas going toward $4 and $5 a gallon. What else does it mean? What does it mean? It means that my stupid little can of off-brand tomato soup goes from 99 cents to a $1.39. Okay, it has meaning beyond the simple nuts and bolts of the numbers, and that is where, you know, that's where the real failing comes in.
Okay, I want to take you back a little bit further. Okay, just one step back, one step forward, same threshold. Okay.
Okay.
Think about it. What did Osama bin Laden want of the United States of America before 9/11? He wanted $120 a gallon, or $120 a barrel for oil, and he wanted the United States out of Saudi Arabia.
Well, he got that second one pretty darn quick.
Yep.
And now he's on the way to getting the other one.
And it's, you know, think about it. When $120 a barrel, when it hits $120 a barrel, this nation, the United States of America, will cease to exist. Will be incorporated into this oilography or whatever you want to call it. I can't even think about it. You know, you talk about this.
No, but I do think about that kind of stuff. I just got done reading the segment in Jared Diamond's book, Collapse, about Easter Island.
Yep. Yeah, when you burn all the trees, what do you got left?
And then the soil goes, and then you've eaten all the birds, and you don't have a lot of access to shellfish because it's pretty, you know, there's no, it, yeah.
Then what happens?
Collapse. And you know, Jared Diamond does a brilliant job of pointing out case after case after case of how it happens. Greenland to Easter Island to the American Southwest, the Chaco Canyon culture, the Anasazi, to the Maya. Oi,
me! See how it works.
And the thing is, this continent has been occupied by white Europeans for something like, oh, let's see. Well, last year was the 400th anniversary of the Jamestown Colony.
I got a red fox and I got a white and black dog chasing the red fox. I'm not kidding you, Bob.
I got to tell you, I'm rooting for the fox. Hope the little guy gets away.
The hound. Okay?
Good.
Think about it, all right?
Yeah.
We have been incorporated into this fallacy, this silliness, this insane desire to have everything. Okay? We have to be in control. Like our good friend in, where is he, Vermont or up there in Maine?
Oh, David?
David from Maine.
Yeah.
We have to have control of everything. We force everyone else on this planet to accept our way of thinking. But then when they don't, and they rebel against, or they don't accept it, or they don't want to live like we do, then we send in the Marines or whatever, okay? We attack them, we assault them, we occupy them, we take over their, you know, their way of governance. But if you stop and think, this planet is in turmoil. It's constantly in this cauldron of hatred and bigotry and stupidity, Bob. It is stuck in this loop of going back and forth between this, I don't like her, I don't like him, I don't care about this, but they don't care about their progeny. You think about it. You go back to the founding fathers of energy than the other guy. You know, if you went back to, what was his name? James Earl Cousins. Yeah?
Yeah, the guy who started talking about getting in. Hey, let me interrupt just for a second, Bob. You know, one of the things that just scares the bejesus out of me is that $108 a barrel oil is going to be a lovely argument for Jay Rockefeller to squire Barack Obama around West Virginia some more and say, well, you know, the solution to this is liquid coal.
Liquid coal. But, Bob, let's be honest, all right? You and I are both in energy-producing states, okay? But we are not in the energy-producing center of the universe, okay? This little, solar system that we live in, and Tom Hartman came out with a book about the last
hours of ancient sunlight, yeah.
Yes, the last hours of ancient sunlight. And nobody really realizes where the energy that they're burning today came from and what caused it to congeal into these pools of oil or these clumps of coal, unless you really study the science of it, where these hydrocarbons come from. You don't know. You just think you know because you go to the pump and you put it. It's kind of like this. I had a grandson. He was 14 years old when my daughter married my son-in-law, and he came out here from Washington State. Now, that's not Washington, D.C. That's Washington State on the other side of the nation. And he came here to North Dakota, right in the center of the nation. He said to me, I asked him, where do you think food comes from, son? And he said, well, Grandpa, he says, it comes from the grocery store, except for them folks like you. What? Well, he didn't say folks. He used another word. He says, them people like you that grow their own. And it just floored me because this kid grew up in a nation that doesn't even know where food comes from.
No. No, hell no.
Let alone the energy from, you know, salt, you know.
But yeah, Bob, let's put some perspective on this real quick. This is nothing new. I remember, and you can look it up, thanks to the internets. Years and years ago, I mean decades and decades ago, to the point that it was, you know, in black and white, I think. Somebody did a spoof of the Italian pasta harvest.
Ah.
Did you ever see this? And it shows the women with the kerchiefs in their hair and baskets, and they're going along and they're picking the spaghetti off the trees in Italy.
Oh, off the trees?
Yeah. It's the Italian pasta harvest. And if I recall the story correctly, the thing was taken as real.
As real.
Because nobody realized where pasta comes from. Where spaghetti comes. It was the, and I don't think we were even at a place in this country where we called it pasta. We called it spaghetti. Everything was spaghetti. It was either macaroni or it was spaghetti. And they were harvesting the spaghetti from the spaghetti trees in Italy. It is nothing new that American and primarily American city culture has no idea what goes into making food or making food happen.
Yeah, and the thing is, Bob, when this planet heats to a certain degree, 6 degrees above what we are experiencing today, it will die, Bob. The wheat bowl that you get your pasta from will be dead and gone. You can't grow wheat. You can't grow pasta in a desert. You can't grow it there. You can't get it back after you've destroyed it. And the sadness is that I have to put myself in this too, because I stand outside of the box. I don't want to get into this, you know, politic and stuff. I don't give a hoot if Hillary wins or Obama wins, or if Obama and Hillary dump Bill and the other one, the two of them intertwine and become president. president, vice president, Chair Lincoln's bed. I don't care. What I care about is the future of this planet. And if we don't do something and do it real quick, we ain't going to have a future, Bob. All of our arguing, all of our blustering, all of our fighting, and all of our screaming about this, that, or the other will not exist for our children. And, Bob, by God, I want them to have a future. Not me, because my past is where I was a young man and made all my
money. No, that's why I keep saying that I can't afford to take my eye off the fact that John McCain is the problem, because, you know, I got grandkids now, and I've got a vested interest in seeing us start to make some form of a turnaround, whether it's a big one or a small one. Bob, I got somebody on hold here, and I need to roll along, but awful good to hear from you, brother. Spring will be getting your way one of these days, right?
It's already here. It's over 50 degrees, and I can't.
You're kidding me.
We got no snow on the ground. The boy's running around in a T-shirt in the yard with a dog. And like I said, I had a red fox being chased by my neighbor's dog down the road and through my yard just a bit ago, and it's too dang early for it, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, that without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Anyway, get on with the show and do what you got. If I got in here and made a lot of damage, well...
You didn't do any damage. You made some damn good sense. You always do.
At least I try to make sense. I'm not the most important individual on this planet, but I am a person that cares about every other important person on this planet, and that means all, what is it now, 7 billion or trillion? I don't know how many people live on this planet, but I care about you, each and every one of you, and I want you to survive.
Exactly.
Good night, my friend.
Take care, Bob, and give our regards to Glenda, please.
Oh, I'll do that.
Tell that boy to get a coat on before he gets cold.
Bye-bye.
Later. And keeping it rolling.
Hey, Bob, it's Gene again.
Hey, Gene, what's up?
Oh, you know, you were talking about the, how white European Americans have been on this continent for a scant, 400 years, and we've had these evidences of all the civilizations of the past. It's like, gee, I don't mean to be depressed now, but gee, I really hoped I was really going to try and stick it out.
I know, but look, in this book, and I recommend it to everyone. It's eminently readable. Collapse by Jared Diamond. Not a bad idea to read Guns, Germs, and Steel before that. But in Collapse, he makes mention of the fact that, you know, everybody talks about the Chaco Canyon Anasazi civilization as being a collapsed, failed civilization. Look, that civilization existed in full flower for 600 years.
Oh, yeah.
Before it went to pot. We're at year 400.
Yeah. Flash in the pan. By the way, I hate to bring this up, but I didn't put this up, but I heard over the weekend where Goldman Sachs was saying that they were thinking that oil could go to $200 a barrel, and they've already raised their estimate for the yearly purchase price of oil by $15.
Well, they had to up the ante. They had started their annual prediction or prophecy or whatever between 90 and 105. Now they've got to revise upward.
Yeah, it's they mentioned 135 here in the article, and I suppose I could put that up. I just do.
Well, look, and see, the thing is, there's other stuff too.
Yeah.
That goes into this, in terms of the other prices, other futures. Platinum futures are up. Gold futures are up. Wheat futures are up. Soybean futures are up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all...
Got to remember, famine is good for business.
Oh, that's scary. anyway, I just had to throw that in. I'm sorry I made you call back, Bob, if you want to. Bob and then Bob.
No worries, no worries, Gene. Don't ever apologize.
Okay, I've been thinking about this for a long time because I go to the Peak Oil Group here and all that jazz, and it's like in Oregon they're doing their best to plan for all this, and I think it's great, and I'm doing what I can, but I keep wondering if it's going to be enough. And it's I'm at this pinnacle where I'm kind of teetering, like, I don't really want to move.
Well, did you see the other really spooky global forecast that came out, or that was got some play today?
No, probably not.
There's and I haven't figured out the angle on it yet, Gene. So, you know, let's just be honest here. I mean, I don't know which way to play it because I'm such a raging paranoiac anymore that I have to sit and think about stuff like this. New story out of the Washington Post that came out today. This is the lead on the story. The task of cutting greenhouse gas emissions enough to avert a dangerous rise in global temperatures may be far more difficult than previous research suggested, according to a report from scientists who have just published studies indicating that, and this is the part of the story, it would require the world to cease carbon emissions altogether within a matter of decades.
Well,
the findings have been published in various journals over the past few weeks, say that both industrialized and developing nations must, not should, not oughta, but must, wean themselves off fossil fuels by as early as mid-century in order to prevent warming that could change precipitation patterns and dry up sources of water worldwide. In other, no carbon. None of this, you know, well, we're going to cap and trade and we're going to be back to pre-1980 level. No. And it's a question of we can either do this rationally with forethought, Gene, or we can do this, in Mad Max kind of stuff.
For some reason, I think the powers that be would rather see Mad Max.
Because they're not going to be here. George Bush isn't... Damn it! I'm not cussing at you, you understand?
Yeah, I know.
George Bush is not going to be here when this happens.
Of course not.
But you know what? Barbie and Jenna will be the old ladies, and they'll be okay because they'll have some sort of a stockpile, or they'll have a private windmill.
Yeah.
All right? But my grandkids and my undreamt of great grandkids, they're going to come to their adulthood in the middle of this, and they're going to look back on us, and they're going to cuss me, and they're going to cuss Agnes, and they're going to cuss this entire generation. Everybody who is alive at this point in time who had a chance to make a difference, they're going to turn around, put their middle finger in the air, and go, "Oh, thanks for nothing."
Yeah,
and I don't want to carry that. I don't want to be the Judas goat. I don't want to carry that millstone around my neck. I don't want that brand of cursed Cain upon my brow. I don't want it. I want us to do something about it. But that's okay, because Barack Obama is squiring around the Appalachians saying he wants us to be a desolate damn desert like Saudi Arabia. Oh, you can be the Saudi Arabia of coal. Well, whee, Barack. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And thanks for the article, because Ali kind of says, well, doesn't matter where I run to unless I find my own pocket spaceship or something. But it's depressing. I'm sure you get depressed too. So I mean, you have to talk about this stuff.
Well, you know, I used to say that they don't put up a sign saying the empire has now collapsed. When you think about, say, you know, something like the collapse of the Roman Empire, nobody looked up and said, well, you know, it's not the empire anymore, it's the ex-empire.
Mm-hmm.
But this may be such a profound paradigm shift, Gene, that they will put the sign up. It will be that obvious. There will be a bright line demarcation between back when, if you wanted power, you turned the light switch on and it happened, and, you know... It may be Soylent Green with Edward G. Robinson on the bicycle pedaling to charge up the light bulb. It really may be that.
Yeah.
But it will only but it'll only be that if we choose, Gene, to stick our heads in the sand. Oil's gonna be we're gonna be just fine. It's a slowdown. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know that. When people say, I just want to say, oh, like, I at this point I look at people like that. It's like, I mean, do we actually come from the same species, you and I, when you talk like that? I mean, it's like, what do you use your brain for? Well,
but you know, we have again we have historical precedent to show what people can do when people are called upon to find the best in themselves.
Yeah.
You know, these right-wing freaks, I remember Peggy Noonan was one of them, who said, oh, George Bush is so Churchillian, he's Churchillian. You know, Churchill got on the radio and said to the British people, I have nothing to promise you. Nah, I can't do it. That sounds like too much like Richard Nixon. Can't do it right now. I have to think about it.
Yeah, I know.
I have nothing to promise you but blood, sweat, toil, and tears.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, if George Bush had been in that same situation, he would have gotten on and said, yeah, we're going to protect you from the Nazi terror, but you know, you need to do your part by going shopping. Yeah, you'll hear where the bombs are falling. You just shop where they're not.
Yeah,
that's leadership. You know, sometimes leadership means being able to talk about hard things in such a way. But then again, the British people in general got the idea that Churchill was in it with them.
Yeah.
We never get the idea that George Bush is in it with us, because that dumb little bastard gets told that gasoline has gone up over $4 a gallon. How's he respond? Well, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, it's what he wants. I mean, when I look at this $200 barrel, it's like, well, geez, I forget the Pakistani guy that ended up killing Richard Pearl, and I can't remember his name, but he was saying, sell your dollars because they're worthless, all that kind of stuff, and darn it, by the end of Mr. Bush's term, they might as well use them for wallpaper.
I just get tired of quoting Hunter S. Thompson, Gene. Big darkness soon come.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm gonna let you be, but I had to chime in because when I saw that $200 barrel, all I could think of was, it's time I got what he wanted.
All right, Gene. Take it easy, brother.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye now.
Bye.
News Ninja number one, Gene in Oregon. This guy is so plugged, he doesn't miss stories. I don't know which way to take this story, this Washington Post story. Studies warn CO2 output must cease altogether. Research points to years of warming, even with ambitious emission cuts. On the one hand, there's one side of the debate that will see, it's going to happen anyway. We're just screwed. Party on. I mean, you know, this is let's just drink up, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But they're not saying all is lost. They're saying that it does have to cease altogether. Using advanced computer models to factor in deep sea warming and other aspects of the carbon cycle that naturally creates and removes carbon dioxide, the scientists from countries including the United States, Canada, and Germany are delivering a simple message. The world must bring carbon emissions down to near zero to keep temperatures from rising any further. Ken Caldera, Carnegie Institution senior scientist, co-author of a paper published last week, said, "The question is, what if we don't want the Earth to warm anymore? The answer implies a much more radical change to our energy system than people are thinking about. We haven't even defined the problem accurately or adequately." But see, it's easy for $29 million a year flush Flemball to get on the air because and say, "My friends, it's a myth." And it's easy for that crazy-ass Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma to say that it's a giant fraud. Because these stupid bastards aren't going to be alive when the famine hits. They're going to be gone. They're going to be in the dirt. Their sun will have set, their race run, and they will have had their heyday before anybody got that, before, you know, before the piper turned in his fee. It won't be easy, given the makeup of the Senate, but the science is compelling, Barbara Boxer said. It is hard for me to see how my colleagues conduct this issue and live with themselves. Live with themselves? They don't live with themselves. They live with their money. And they know that they are going to outlive the apocalypse. This is... But, you know, for the people who are paying attention, this is no surprise. We are in a world of, But please understand that the people who control the discussion and the debate about that world will not feel any of this. You ever ask yourself questions like, does a member of the Senate actually go and fill up his own gas tank, a Democrat or Republican? Or do they get Lupe to do it? Or Juan? Juan, make sure you fill up the tank. Bring me back a package of Ho-Hos. Pack Marlboro Reds. Six-pack of Bud. Do they do their own grocery shopping? Does Barbara Boxer do her own grocery shopping? How about Jay Rockefeller? Does Jay Rockefeller fill up his tank on his own and go and do his own grocery shopping? Or do they have people who do that sort of plebeian business for them? I don't know. I'm not asking this gooning on anybody. I'm just asking. And when you do go to the grocery, if they go to the grocery store, do they just sort of move through it blind and never look at a price tag because it doesn't matter, because no matter how much it is, they can afford it? See, there are decisions being made in Washington that are most profoundly going to impact people who have to make choices between gasoline and milk, bread and tires. But nobody's making those decisions for those people who understand what those people go through to live. We keep talking about insuring 50 million uninsured people in America, but meanwhile there are people who have insurance and are going broke because of the dodge, the con of coverage versus copay. And it is a dodge. Oh, my God, what a fraud. Let's go to the phones. Hi, who have I got?
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita, how are you, dear?
I'm among the land of the living still.
Every day above the ground's a good one.
I got a reprieve from the county today. So.
Did you really?
I'm trying to come down from my anxiety attack of a week ago. I wanted to call you and ask you about this thing I started hearing all of a sudden. Well, not really all of a sudden, but I think you said something about it the other day about the left-wing people. Nothing that Hillary does is right. Let's put it mildly.
Yeah. I think we've talked some about that.
Mm-hmm. And is she that horrible?
You know, I've never seen her eat a baby.
I mean, what are they going to do if she does become the president? I mean, what are they going to have
to do? Well, it depends on how you define they.
Well.
there are some people out there who hope to continue the gravy train if she is, if she's elected, you know, and they'll make an industry out of hating her.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the people are supposed to be on our side.
Look, I'm not laboring under any misapprehensions, Juanita. I don't think that it's suddenly going to be all frisbees and wheat checks if Hillary Clinton is elected president. But by the same token, I don't think that about Barack Obama either, because I'm enough of a realist to recognize that 8 years of George Bush has put us in a hell of a fix.
Yeah.
That there's going to be a lot of just, you know, mopping up and cleanup work.
Well, some of it is just so vile, you know, till I quit listening to some of it. You know, I'm not for either one of them, actually. I mean, sometimes I lean more toward Obama, but sometimes I get defensive for Hillary because of the things that they say. And the woman's been investigated as much as her husband, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and has been subjected to a 16-year industry that's dedicated to nothing but hating her guts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can live through that with half of your sanity intact, let alone all of it, that means you're made of some pretty stern stuff. Now, you know, is she too cozy with the pharmaceutical companies to suit me? Yes, she is. Is she too cozy with the military-industrial complex to suit me? Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She's too cozy with a lot of people to suit me, but guess what? It's not exactly like Barack Obama's teeth are chattering in the cold because he's not cozy. He's plenty cozy. So I just realized that when I go to make my decision, and, you know, you live in Florida, Juanita, so you may have another decision coming, too, because you may get a do-over.
Right.
I'm just going into the voting booth understanding that I am voting for a pair of political pros.
Right.
I'm choosing between a pair of absolute political pros who are probably the most driven people on planet Earth, because it's an exhausting process to run for president of the United States.
Yeah.
And you got to watch every word you say, and God forbid that maybe you're coming down with a cold and you go like that. Well, let's see. On the one hand, they'll swear that you're on cocaine, and on the other that you're an emotional basket case who's too much of a wreck to run the country.
Well, if you're Hillary, it's just an act.
or that, you know, you're just
get your putting sympathy.
Yeah, you're pretending to have that cold.
I got a thing for I get these things from my cousins, my right wing cousins that I've never really even met, maybe when they were a baby, but I got one yesterday about showing they said, I wouldn't have believed this, I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, and it was a picture of Obama. And him and Hillary and a couple of other people, I guess they were pledging to the flag, and he and there with just his arms down to his side, and they had their hand on their chest and said, "Oh Lord, help us! What are we gonna do?" And I thought about it. I think I'll.
They've never seen that picture of where Bush puts his hand during the pledge, have they?
I think I'd find the worst picture I could find from Abu Ghraib and send it to him and say, would you rather have that or would you rather have this?
No, there are pictures out there, you know, because, oh, he won't wear a flag pin and he won't put his hand over his heart. George Bush puts his hand over his navel during the pledge. There's like a dozen pictures, of different occasions. Where
that
he puts his hand, he does. He puts his hand right above his groin during the pledge. Not kidding. It's amazing. Well, but he's wearing his flag pin, ain't he? He's got his pledge pin on.
He did his little dance the other day. It reminded me of the one that.
Dancing at the White House.
Did after he won France.
Dancing at the White House, singing at the Gridiron Club. He's a triple threat entertainer.
Well, I'm so tired of him. I am so tired of him.
I know. I'll be so glad. I'll be so glad when he moves to Paraguay.
Oh, me too. I'm so.
But I do feel kind of bad for the Paraguayans.
Yeah.
It's lovely here to be. It's lovely to be here in Paraguay. I'm glad we've got a ranch in Paraguay. Well, it's not even going to sound good in Spanish. But, no, he's a nightmare. He's a disaster. He's the worst president ever.
Of course. My opinion.
And the thing is, he's... But wait, Juanita, wait. There's more. It's a Ginsu commercial, you know. He's only the worst president ever until McCain gets inaugurated.
Oh, yeah. That would be really a trip.
And I promise you, after 4 or 8 years of John McCain, we will be looking fondly back on George W. Bush as a flippin' genius.
I agree with you. I do. I agree with you.
Just like, you know, just like George Bush the first nominated Dan Quayle to be his vice president.
Uh-huh.
So that... you know, Dan Quayle made George Bush the first look smart.
Yeah.
John McCain is in there to make George W. Bush look smart.
Yeah.
And he's going to look like a Rhodes Scholar by the time McCain's done, if we are stupid enough to put that ignorant loser in the White House.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice if we could have a really left-leaning president. But we don't have that choice, I don't think, for either one of them.
No, we've got hardcore so-called centrists, you know, middle of the roaders.
But, you know, I think back and when we had, when we got Dukakis, what a choice. We had some good people running then, and I'm not really knocking him, but my gosh, you know, it was our choice, and that was all we had to take.
Yeah, I know. Well, Juanita, I'm going to run along. You have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too.
I'm glad you got your reprieve.
Yeah, me too. It's about to explode over here.
I know. It was like,
not like your mountains are exploding, but...
Close enough for government work.
Yep.
All right. Take care, Juanita.
You take care, too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, a few minutes before the hour. We will start up hour number 3. And your calls, well, look, why do I keep... I have to assume occasionally that we're getting new listeners, because we are. I mean, my goodness, Receiva.com, Radiotime.com, Phonostar.com, standalone players at WD40.com and AfterDowningStreet.org, iTunes Radio, the podcasts, the archives, new listeners all the time. So, yeah, we'll be back after a little brief musical interlude, a little bit of a check-in on labor news, and then you can light up the phones if you want to, or God knows, not like there's not information, not stuff to talk about. So any which way you choose will be fine. This is listener-supported liberal media. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn.
There's a woman going crazy on Caroline Street, stopping every man that she does meet, saying if you'll be gentle, if you'll be sweet, I'll show you my place on Caroline Street. She claimed in a loud voice to be a dancer, but I don't think she's cut a rug in years. Listens to the jukebox for her answer. Slowly guzzles 25-cent beer. Talks about the men she's known and then some. She's seen them in her dreams and on the street. She slides her dapper legs from beneath the table, as if to reveal some kind of treat. There's a woman going crazy on Caroline Street, stopping every man that she does meet, saying if you'll be gentle, if you'll be sweet, I'll show you my place on Caroline Street. Just right now she can't recall his name. Perceiving she's the center of attention,
horny and don't need a good excuse. Someone yells and things just start erupting. In a flash, all hell is broken loose. I'll show you my place on Caroline and blue. So be careful when you go to swing your partner. Someone just might take a swing at you. There's a woman going crazy on Caroline Street, stopping every man that she does meet, saying if you'll be gentle, if you'll be sweet, I'll show you my place on Caroline Street.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As recently as late February, President George W. Bush has been saying that he doesn't believe the economy is slipping into a recession.
I don't think we're headed to recession, but no question we're in a slowdown.
When it comes to those vying for the position currently held by Bush, he pretty much stands alone. Democratic presidential contenders Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have made it very clear on the campaign trail and in debates that they believe that the economy is on a downward slope toward a recession. And on Friday, Republican presidential nominee Senator John McCain joined the chorus at a town hall in Atlanta.
I would say that it's very likely, and more economists are saying that we are probably, quote, in a recession.
The comments by the Arizona senator come in stark contrast to remarks he made during a Fox News presidential debate on January 10, 2008. At that point in time, he downplayed any recession talk.
I don't believe we're headed into a recession. I believe the fundamentals of this economy are strong, and I believe they will remain strong.
McCain has said that he will preserve Bush's tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, even though he originally voted against them. Clinton and Obama have both foisted part of the blame for the stalling economy on those tax cuts. And Obama hasn't shied away from tying McCain and Bush together on the trail.
George Bush handed out billions of dollars of tax breaks to the wealthy few over the course of 7.5 years, and John McCain promises to make those same tax cuts permanent.
Both Clinton and Obama have said that they will repeal those tax cuts.
We will go back to the tax rates we had before George Bush became president. And my memory is people did really well during that time period, and they will keep doing really well.
A construction trades policy about to be adopted in Los Angeles will hire more low-income and local residents in projects worth $15 billion over 5 years. The Los Angeles and Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council is leading a coalition of labor, community, and business groups to get it done. Kevin Norton is organizing director and political coordinator for IBEW Local 11.
By having an opportunity for people to get into the Building Trades Apprenticeship Program, it really gives a ladder up into the middle class for a lot of kids that haven't had opportunities in life.
Norton says it's a sign of how vibrant the L.A. area labor movement is.
We have some pretty visionary people out here in Los Angeles, and we have a very vibrant labor movement in Los Angeles.
Richard Slauson, executive director of the L.A. Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council, says this policy is good for construction workers, for the industry, and the communities involved.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's check something out. I've got this. I've got this video here of the audio of Bush serenading the Gridiron Club. You and I will be hearing it for the first time together. So God only knows what's actually on it. And, you know, it's pretty much a sure thing that we're going to want to do some, you know, it's going to make your stomach turn. But, you know, that's George Bush opening his mouth. So what do you want? So let's give it a listen here and see what we get. Oh, 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 that's just so funny. Yeah, here comes Scooter, free of the prosecutor. Dang, that's cute.
And then I wake and look around me at the oval walls that surround me. And I realize I was only dreaming. For there's Condi and Dick, my old compadre, talking to me about some oil-rich Shawnee. But soon I'll touch the brown, brown grass of home. Yes, you're all gonna miss me the way you used to quiz me.
But soon I'll touch the brown.
Documents he's been withholding. Yes, you're all gonna miss me the way you used to diss me.
That's about all I can stand. I can do without the introductions. Can you imagine? No wonder they didn't allow video. Our rulers don't want us to know how they think of us. Slapping us in the face with the travesty, the miscarriage of justice that is Scooter Libby. Slapping us in the face with the fact that this stinking criminal administration has openly flouted the law with people like Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton. Oh no, they didn't want any cameras in there. Oh no, I'm not sure. This can't possibly be more offensive than George Bush looking for weapons of mass destruction underneath his coffee table. But it comes awfully damned close. Brown, brown grass of home. For those keeping score at home, some of the lyrics. And there to meet me is my mama and my papa. Down the lane I look and here comes Barney, heart of gold and breath like honey. It's good to touch the brown, brown grass of home. For there's Condi and Dick, my old compadre, talking to me about some oil-rich Saudi. God almighty! Crude oil topped $108 a barrel today. And that ignorant, disconnected little fool is giggling about oil-rich Saudis. I look, Dick Cheney is strolling with documents he'd been withholding. The Constitution is nothing more than a foil for a damned wisecrack in George Bush's 2008. And the sleeping American people gaze at the screen feeding them their very lives and wonder who's going to be the idol this year. Or maybe they tune into some electric Jesus to find out that they're going to get raptured right through the roof of their car and they're not going to have to put up with any of this. Reckon was Nancy Pelosi there last night? Reckon was Harry Reid there last night? Reckon they chuckled along with the rest of the crowd. In the video, there's one idiot who holds up a lit Bic lighter like it's some sort of damn Kiss concert from 1979. You know what? They're laughing at you. They're laughing at me. They're laughing at all of us. Because we are the butt of the joke. The troubles will never touch them. It's all just a big chuckle to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. It's a knee slapper. And the Bush administration, in turn, is laughing at them. Look at that. We violated the Constitution more ways than you even knew it could be violated, and we made you sit there and like it, Nancy. Ha! 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 Yeah, you're a tough one, Harry Reid. We slapped you around and you came back to get slapped again. Ha, ha, ha! And the American people, you're just precious. In 8 years, we've taken you from $1.25 a gallon gasoline to $4 a gallon gasoline, and you won't even raise your voice. You're such a damn bunch of pathetic sheep. Hell yes, we're laughing! And if you say anything, we'll tell you Osama's gonna get you. And you'll go and soil yourself and wet yourself in the corner in abject, terrified misery. We don't want to have to do that now, do we? God. Let's see what's shaking on the phones here. Hi, who have I got?
Bob.
Hey, Ed, what's up?
No, not a whole lot. I was just listening in.
Oh, okay.
Sound like you got it down pretty good.
Well, I didn't.
But those people, the reason they can laugh at us, they've never been where we have.
No, and they know that, and they know that we won't hold their feet to the fire.
No, and you know, I said at the very offset, I think I said on your program that I had a highest regard for Nancy Pelosi, but you know what? I don't have any confidence in any of them. And our representative.
How much respect do you have for a whipped dog, Ed?
Well,
you have some pity.
I have, yeah.
But it
I
ain't no respect.
And respect for one than I do people like her. I just wonder, you know, all of them talk. Yeah, I mean, can you believe any of them? I'm asking you, do you know one of them that you can believe that is in office? Now, I believe a couple of them that didn't win office.
Well, I still think Dennis Kucinich is a fundamentally honest man. I think Russ Feingold has a little bit of honesty in him. I don't agree with all of his positions, but I think Chris Dodd has some decency to him. But then again, I don't treat politics like they're movie stars. I don't look at politicians being politicians and think that I'm seeing a performance. I know that these are incredibly flawed people with a million agendas and patrons that you and I can't even begin to dream of, Ed, because we don't have the money to be their patrons.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is just like today, you know, another one bites the dirt. You know, that mayor of New York and his prostitution ring. And it seems like, you know, there's an old saying that cream of the crop will rise to the top, but it seems like scum rises right with it.
Darn straight.
I just can't believe that we get a guy in there that has done all the good that he's done. Of course, he wasn't doing it to himself. He was doing it to other people, you know, the penalties and so forth. But of course, I didn't have no use for him after he tried that three different driver's license for illegal aliens.
Well, I personally don't care if immigrants get driver's licenses, because if they get driver's licenses, Ed, that means they can buy insurance. And if they get insurance, that means when they have a wreck that whoever gets hurt doesn't get left in the cold holding the medical bills.
Yeah.
Nobody ever wants to talk about that.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. I meant...
No. I'm not jumping on you. I'm just saying that...
You know, three different driver's licenses.
Yeah.
You know, and then Hillary Clinton backing them. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit prejudiced on Obama and Hillary Clinton both. But I just
don't. No, I don't hear any prejudice in you. I mean, or any unwarranted prejudice. But we're going to have a choice between Bush 2.0 and something different. And I'm willing to cast my vote for something different. Because McCain is honest to God, Ed. McCain is going to make us look back on Bush like Bush was a genius.
Yeah. Oh, but the fact of the matter is, I don't think he's got a chance of snowballing Hades.
McCain?
Yeah, I don't think he's got a chance.
Shoot,
you know,
Ed.
I know
that, those repig lickings will get behind him, and they'll talk about how it'll either be, you know, Obama's a dirty little crypto Muslim, or it'll be Hillary's a communist. Blah 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 blah. And at the end of the day, they'll line up behind McCain, Ed, because they are Republicans. And what do Republicans do? Republicans vote for Republicans. I'm sitting here looking at a story about the 12,000 people I'm sorry, 16,000 plus in Cuyahoga County alone. That's where Cleveland is.
Mm-hmm.
Switched parties for one day to vote in the Democratic primary in Ohio last week. Now, they were supposed to sign a pledge card saying that they would vote Democratic in the general election. They wrote on that pledge card things like, for one day only, and I don't believe in abortion. Now, lying on that pledge card is supposed to be a felony, but not a charge is going to be levied.
Well, they've overrun everything else. There's no reason to think that they're...
They're trying to control who our nominee is, Ed. Whether they went in to vote for Hillary or went in to vote for Obama, they're trying to pick our nominee for us because, you know, look, they're going to go back to voting Republican in November.
Right.
Because, you know, a dog returns to its, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But.
And this is, you know, this is terrifying. The idea of 4 or 8 years of John McCain or radical fundamentalist cleric Mike Huckabee following him up as vice president or whatever freak McCain picks makes my bowels go watery.
Yeah. Well,
because we can't take 8 more years of Bush policies, and that's what we're going to get.
I'm not sure we can take 8 more years of anything the way it's going. The way the stock market's going, the way housing.
Yeah, somebody's got to get in there, Ed, and start doing the hard work of governing.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, just quick as they have to raise taxes, because you know we got to get out of this mess some way. You know, the debt and the spending. The crazy spending that Bush has done has got to be paid for. And then the next 4 years from now, it'll be, well, you saw what the Democrats done. They got in there and tax and spend. You have to pay your debt. Well, that's the way I see it. I don't, maybe.
Yeah.
No,
no, you're right. You're right.
But
if you have the fiddler pay the tune, you do eventually have to pay the fiddler.
Right. Well, they if I had all the qualifications of everybody that put their name on that ticket to run, I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't want the job of pulling this mess of even thinking. But because of my mind is so small, I guess, I can't imagine anybody pulling this thing out. You know, I just can't imagine.
But we were in a terrible mess after 12 years of Reagan and Bush, too, Ed. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Horrible deficits. And we managed to, Bill Clinton managed to end his 8 years in office with a surplus.
Yeah, but since then, those high-paying jobs that paid good taxes,
those are gone. It's going to be harder for whoever tries to do it this time through. But I guarantee you, John McCain cannot do the job.
No, and you know what? I have absolutely. I don't know if it's depression. Or if it just feels like it's a black cloud hanging over this nation for the way it's been run and the corrupt and perverse things that's going on. Everything from these pedophiles still running, you know, and I don't know when they're going to take a stand and realize what these people are doing to our kids. I mean, it's there, from there all the way up to the pages in the White House and in the different halls of the capitals. And when you got that, and there's don't seem to be too much good around you, it leaves a lot of room to one. in Bible, biblical times, and I know there's a lot of different opinions out there about that, but the way the leaders went was the way the nation went. You know, the different...
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. And, you know that happens outside the Bible, too. Bad government leads to a sick country.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you've got intuition or gut shot feelings or whatever, but just on 401ks and stuff like that, watching them do it, and I'm going up Friday and take all my money out of IRAs and 401ks and put them in annuities. But our annuity, which we had several thousand dollars in last year, do you know what it drew this time?
What?
67 cents.
You're kidding.
No, sir. And there was over 17,000 in it.
Good Lord.
67 cents. I could have took it out and put it in savings. And of course, the penalty is going to be big. But I'm gonna do something about mine Friday when Dreamer gets off, because both of us has got those.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably go ahead and put them in annuities and hope that the things does change a little bit. But at least it didn't lose.
But yeah, and there's plenty of folks who's did.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they got our money in, and the annuities don't draw a lot anyway.
No, they're guaranteed funds.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to mutual funds because they've never lost a nickel.
Well, it's a question of whether or not it stays flat or you get any growth.
Well, I never wanted to touch anything that we got or move it because, Dream is younger than I am, and I was trying to completely just act like it wasn't there. But I don't know what the stock market done today. I'm scared to look.
158 points down.
Gee whiz. That makes it, don't that make it just over 10,000?
I don't have the number right in front of me, Ed, but it's not. I don't have the number in front of me, but no, it's not doing well.
Well, let's see there at one time. What was it, 16? We was doing real good, but we've lost every game we had. We've lost every bit of it back plus some. So we've got to, I'm not going to wait till it. Because I know the theory is buy low and sell high, but if you got, a couple million in there, that may not hurt so much. But when you've just got a few thousand, then 300 or 400 at a lick hurts.
Shoot, yeah.
So I'm going to... I'll go up and make some kind of arrangements. I don't know what. I'm sure don't know finances very well. But for a while there, we had a real good return, and things were. But I feel real good. The guy next door lost $100,000. I'd like to think I could lose $100,000.
I'd like to have $100,000 to lose, because if you got $100,000 to lose, that means you got a million laying around.
Yeah, or you got some real bad risky investments, one or the other. And our investments, I really felt super secure with them because it was all in medical.
Yeah,
and if you got your money in medical stuff, usually that's going to do pretty good.
Right, right.
But it certainly didn't, it ain't holding up that way.
Well, if worse comes to worse, the mattress is always safe.
Sir?
If worse comes to worse, Ed, the mattress is always safe.
the mattress.
Yeah, stuff it away in the mattress.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people out there that had retirement funds that did lose money and lost big money. And so, you know, you say you don't know anything about it. So far, you're doing pretty good, Ed.
Well,
just because sometimes holding even is doing pretty doggone good in the long run.
Yeah. Well, we've held even on our annuities, but we haven't held even on the 401ks and IRAs. We haven't held even on that.
No, no.
And I think last report we got, we lost 300 on one that didn't have more than 3,000 in it.
Man, so, that's a lick.
Yeah, I've got to draw. At a certain age, you've got to draw some out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to draw 500 out just to, so the government don't move on me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, my sole purpose for those things was for her later on. But, I'm going to go in and talk to the investment part of the firm.
Right.
Friday and find out. Listen, I'm talking to you just like we're talking at home.
Well, that's what it's supposed. That's what it's supposed to be about, Ed.
You got a show going there, and there's probably people got something to say. But we're going to have to get together and.
Well, spring's coming. Maybe we can sneak out onto the golf course sometime.
Yeah. In fact, there's supposed to be one pretty day this week. I think 61.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice, as long as the wind's not howling. Ed, right. Give our best to Dreama, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, and when you get freed up and can go, let me know.
I sure will. You take care.
All right, Bob. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you. You want to listen some more?
Sure.
All right, I'll put you back on hold. Stand by. All right, let's keep it rolling. Hi, who have I got?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke, what's up?
Oh, just another fun day here at Camp Hell. let's see. We'll start with it now. Okay. I sent you the thing from the Deborah Howells piece.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how she don't see a thing wrong with it?
No.
Like, lady, that's the outrage. You don't see a damn thing wrong with it.
Right. Yeah, it's okay to get on a major metropolitan newspaper and call half of the population idiots, and, you know, yeah, that's fine.
And the thing was, she said, this is about, for anybody that's listening, this is about the thing where they said women were dumb.
Yeah.
You know, they ran in their Outlook section, which they said, oh, then that don't count. It's like, gee, it was in the paper, lady.
Right, exactly.
But since she ran it past, five or six editors and one objected. Well, nothing personal. I'd give that one an extra dollar a week and dock the others.
Exactly. Yeah, because, then again, I guess there's a significant portion of women out there that will vote for John McCain, but I don't think they're stupid because of their gender. I think they're stupid because they're going to vote for John McCain.
Yeah. I mean, it's across the board. I mean, I tell people this, but humans are stupid. Congratulations. We all qualify. You know, but like I say, like there at the end of the thing, it said, you know, it's like, Mr. Howell, would you object? You know, we could put up different social groups. You wouldn't mind if we wrote up an article and said, you know, that Lithuanians are dumb, you know, or such and such. You know, go down the list, you know, different minorities. So you'd think that's okay, don't you? You know, and she's like, well, no, apparently not.
No, that one doesn't play so well.
They call sexism is just as bad as racism when it's used in the same way. Oh gosh, I tell you.
No, but you're talking. Listen, Luke, you're talking to a political class that is utterly disconnected, utterly separated. They're discombobulated. They don't understand real life.
Well, you know, it's like you were talking. I listened to the to the chimp a minute ago, and one thing hit me when I was listening to him do his little song. You remember on Saturday Night Live, Mr. Mike?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he's passed away since then, but I wish he was back. It's like, give me the Nitty Neals. I'm going to put him in my ears instead of my eyes. You know.
Oh, I know.
It's like, God.
But you know, I think it's interesting that you supposedly
not that offensive.
I wonder if you know, is there any America that gets as pissed off to hear that kind of stuff as I do? That is not good, clean, innocent fun, Luke.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you know, the thing is, like I say, that was the Gridiron Court. That's the press.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's
the pros, man. That's the pros.
I mean, I'm surprised we haven't seen more, at least, you know, a handful at least of them biting in, you know, saying, look, guys, this is what happened the other night, and I was wanting to throw chairs when I heard all this. And it's like, God, you know, I mean, it's like you said, it's like the thing, you know, when he was doing the was it
they gave him a stand, they gave him a standing ovation.
It's like, you understand something, you idiots? You all are clapping for a man who just admitted with the WMD thing, admitted that, oh, by the way, I killed 100,000 people on the first weekend, and I knew I was lying at the time.
Oh. Yeah, but he's a godly man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As long as I ain't got the brown skin.
Jesus, I know.
Oh, Lordy me. Let's see, what else? The thing a minute ago, I say, you know what? If the Republicans want to cry worse checks and spend liberals, I'd say, yeah, at least that's better than being a bar and spin conservative. At least we pay our bills.
Yeah, or just, I don't even think they're that. They're just spend and spend conservatives. They write hot checks. They're hot check artists.
Well, you know, it's like I said before. I said, you know, anybody that objects, you know, if John McCain brings that up during the whenever they eventually have the Democrat-Republican debate, John McCain brings that up, I'd reach into my wallet, pull out my credit card, and say, look at this. I have to pay this off each month. Why don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Luke, I got to roll on. Got a couple of folks stacked up here,
okay.
but oh, God. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know you were as disgusted by that charming audio as I was.
The thing that amazed me, like I say, is the fact nobody was saying anything. I mean, where's the people screaming? There should be some people on the networks, you know, standing.
Well, since video wasn't allowed, they're going to pretend that it didn't happen.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. You figure one or two of them, you know, somebody like a Helen Thomas would be standing up and screaming about it.
No, she had a hand in it.
I know. All right, let me go on, bud.
All right, thanks, Luke. Take it easy. Bye now. Hi, who have I got?
Is it me?
It is you.
It is me, all right.
What's up, Wayne?
How you doing, buddy?
You know, just sitting here playing the greatest hits of George W. Bush, you know, making fun of us.
Yeah, I don't know. I was busy. What statement were you guys talking about?
No. He got up and sang at the Gridiron Dinner, and that made fun little comments about, you know, here comes Scooter, free of the prosecutor. I'll be so glad when I get to the brown grass of home.
Oh, good.
I
mean, there's a history of that. How about it? I don't know. You know, the Washington Press Corps or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
the man's a creep. You know, what can I say?
Yeah, but the people that stand up and give him a standing ovation for that garbage are creeps too, Wayne.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I mean, the video, and granted, we're talking about video on the radio, and that, you know, really doesn't translate. But when you see the dude stand up and light his Bic lighter like he's at a rock concert, you know, that's when you just...
What's this? I'm a millionaire football player?
No. This is the Gridiron. This is the Washington Press Corps, you know, the soiree in tux and tails there that they give for the president.
Okay.
Kind of like the Washington Press Corps dinner, only different.
Okay. It's, yeah, all part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All part of the game.
It's how our bettors get together and enjoy a real good time, Wayne.
I know. Listen, I got to listen to Brother Ed a little bit. I'm glad that he sounds good, man. And, you know, put your money in the mattress, Ed.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean.
Nail it to the wall board and get the shotgun.
I have my carpenter's pension that I can't call them up and say, okay, you know, take the money and put it under the mattress, you know. But I had a little bit of money. I started, and, you know, in 9 months, I lost 10%. You know, so I went in and told the other guy, Friday, I said, listen, man, I want my money. This thing's going down, you know. Well, yeah, oh, well, you're only behind 10%, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, if I was 35 years old or 42,
yeah,
let it in there. But I'm not. And, you know, the thing's going down. I would take my money out. That's what I would do. You know, buy something, say, even if you put it in the bank, you're not going to get a whole bunch of interest, but it's guaranteed up to $100,000.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, anyway. And, you know, please bear in mind when the investment advisor, you're only down 10%. You know,
how much are you down? You still get your fees, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, and, well, that's the croupier at the blackjack table saying, buddy, throw them again, man. You know, it's going to be 7 this time.
Boom, man.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, yeah, you can't roll snake eyes like this all the time. You got one coming.
Exactly.
Ah, oh, damn it, snake eyes.
Yeah,
tough luck, buddy.
Yeah, it is, man.
I'm sorry for you, sir. Yeah, pay the man.
Well, I think that, just look at everything. I mean, I'm sorry. We're headed for some bad times here, honestly and truly.
$108 a barrel oil, Wayne.
Yes. Yep.
You know, $5 a gallon gas by summer, you think? I mean, I heard at the top of the program that it's hitting 5 in California already.
You know, that would not surprise me at all. I mean,
And, you know, what do we do?
The old saying about the sins of the past, you know. I mean, we're going on 8 years now. We're heading towards 8 years. And it's payback time.
How long can the binge go on?
Well, I mean, these idiots.
I mean, if you were to compare the American economy to, say, an alcoholic, we're just about at the point where we're ready to drink the wood alcohol, and that crap will drive you blind.
We are there. Yeah.
And
the only hope is, you know, the election coming up. Yeah,
if we can just keep from, you know, vibrating into a million pieces between now and November. And I'm just sitting here preaching sanity. You know, just breathe. Everybody breathe. It's going to be okay.
Exactly. It's, I don't know. We'll have to see how everything turns out. I think it's, I hope that it turns out to be a great lesson in democracy. Yeah. I hope it does.
I do too. And you know, just trying to get people to step back from the railing a little bit, because when you're spending more time hating one of the two Democratic candidates than you do John McCain,
you're wrong, man.
You're wrong, and we're screwed.
Yeah, you're going in the wrong. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. It's, I don't know, man. I don't want to go through this till August and stuff, but we'll see what turns out. You know, we'll see what turns out. I don't even know if I should say it, but I will anyway. I lean towards Hillary. That's where I'm leaning. I know it's you know, maybe not the popular thing, everybody has their warts, buddy. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the elections come down to the lesser of two evils when you really look at the whole situation. But, you know, we'll see. I will support the Democratic nominee. That I'll be behind him or her 100%. So, I don't know, but it's interesting.
Well, yeah, it is, and I can keep saying, Wayne, is that and I know it sounds smart alecky, but it's Jesus ain't running this year.
No, he ain't.
So I don't get no perfect candidate. So I, you
well,
know,
there is, well, there I don't know that there is such a thing.
No, of course you know, there's not.
There certainly isn't such a thing. So. You know.
And for West Virginians, especially folks like, you know, the people that co-sponsor this, partially sponsor these programs, you know, Coal River Mountain Watch, and you know, I consider myself a part of that group and consider myself in the same mindset. The choice that I get as a Democrat in May is a hard choice. Because, as I've noted, you know, Hillary got a B-plus from the coal industry on her energy plan, and Barack Obama's running around saying he wants to turn West Virginia into the Saudi Arabia of coal.
Exactly.
Tough call.
Yeah, let me tell you something really goofy.
All right. I can use goofy.
Hillary's, you know, has the, reputation of being a bitch and a cold woman and
yeah.
blah, 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 blah. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
And all these things.
Yeah.
this is really goofy, but it's the truth. I watched her on Saturday Night Live, and I just watched her on the Jon Stewart show from I don't know when it was.
Yeah, that was...
Jon Stewart don't come... This is a real person.
Yeah.
At one time during the thing, they were having they had a real bad satellite feed or whatever. And, you know, the Jon Stewart says something, well, she doesn't hear it till 10 seconds later. And, you know, but he's continuing to speak. And it was like they came back from a break or something, and he started just saying, oh, okay, you know, so we have on satellite, you know, Hillary Clinton from Texas, blah, 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 blah. Supposedly she's running for president of the United States. And, you know, this comes to Hillary, I don't know, 5-10 seconds after he says it, and he's continuing to speak. And she's just standing there listening. But you could tell when the supposedly she's running for president, and she starts laughing. Never said a word, just start laughing and listen to the rest of his thing, you know. And I like that. That shows a real person, I think, to me. Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. No, yeah, it does. And that's the reason she was on the show, is because she could... You can get away with stuff on Jon Stewart's show that you can't get away with on, you know, Meet the Prestitutes.
Yes, but in the same sense, I think those are more informative.
They are, and they're more grounded in something approaching reality.
You know, and that doesn't make Barack a bad guy. I mean, you know, I think he has a sense of humor too.
Yeah.
You know, it's
look, I think they're both incredibly intelligent. I think they are both miles and miles ahead of anything John McCain will bring to the...
And my whole thing comes down to, I'm an old guy, okay?
Well, I think then demographically
it comes down to experience. It really does. Like I say, they both have their warts. I mean, you know, the guy running Clinton's campaign is a union buster, for Christ's sakes. You know, and I'm, you know, I know Obama has his warts too, but... We have to have drastic action in this country. I mean, you know, the Democrats win this thing. I mean, we have to move quickly to eliminate the fears of guys like Ed, who worked all their damn lives and struggled and finally got to a position where they are nowhere near wealthy, but they could retire. And if they live for 20 years, they won't have to eat dog food. They won't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And that's what it's about. And we have to do something about that. You know, this, you know, one of the things that impressed me about Hillary is the, freeze on foreclosures.
Yeah, just stop it.
You have to do that. You can't throw people out. You know, my God.
Well, what, 100,000+ foreclosures in the last month? You've got...
I bet it's more than that.
You've got banker, you've got repo people going into unoccupied homes. I saw this story just the other day. Guy was out of the country. He was in England or somewhere. He was current on all of his payments. And they went in, drained his pool, put locks on the doors, and he comes home and goes, "What the hell?" And they go, "Oh, sorry, there's so many foreclosures. We got yours wrong. Oops."
Yeah, well, at least there wasn't,
I mean, there are neighborhoods in California where, that you know, it's everything but tumbleweeds now.
And, you know, listen, people that can afford to pay the mortgage are walking away from homes, you know, because they're paying on a mortgage just $300,000 and the house is only worth, you know, $190,000 now. Or, you know, I don't know if it's
got an entire segment of the population that's completely upside down on their notes.
Exactly. And something has to be done about it. You know, we need FDR tactics.
Yeah.
That's what we need. I mean, you know,
need FDR tactics and an FDR.
And an FDR. That's exactly right. You know, the banks, guess what? You can't close. But we're taking you over, you know. One of the biggest things that the Republicans have done that has led to all this, I guess it's kind of one word, maybe with a hyphen in it. What is it? Deregulation.
Yeah, sure.
Deregulation, you know. You used to be able to get on an airplane and go to where you wanted on time and stuff like that.
No.
Because
free market took care of that.
Because the airlines were what? They were regulated.
Yeah, you had to go to Donut Center.
You had to go to, or to Burlington, Vermont. You had to go there, you know.
Right.
Then I don't know, buddy. Listen, I know time's getting short. The Workers' Freedom Bill failed. Too controversial.
Died in the Senate.
I'll send you a, from our good buddy Mike Green, Senator Mike Green.
Yeah.
Who I fought from the beginning.
Right.
Although I did allow him to come to the picnic as long as he provided two porta potties.
Right.
You remember.
I do.
Yes. And I send you that. You know, it was, we don't want to take away the employer's rights either. You know, it was, you know.
Oh, God, pardon me while I kick furniture.
Yes. We have a very important election coming up in your county. John Pino has got to be defeated. He's evil. He's evil, you know.
Not well, he's a POS.
What is that?
Piece of shit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll go.
See, you made me do it, Wayne. You made me
a piece of shit. Which is even worse, you know.
He's a POS and he stinks. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
And he's diseased or something. Yeah, I know. God. I got one more call that may still be here, Wayne. Good to hear from you, brother.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you later, man.
Keep fighting.
Okay, bye.
Later. Get that stuff into the mattress and out of the hands of the broker, please. All right, let's see if you're still here. Hi, who I got?
Madness, I tell you.
Jethro.
What's going on?
I don't know it, brother. Glad to know you're still above the ground. I hadn't heard from you in forever.
Yeah, I crawled out from underneath my rock. Just thought I'd call in and discuss McCain there a little bit.
Good. I'm glad you want to.
Yes. I can't wait to see him melt down in one of the debates, whether it's going to be against Hillary or Obama.
Yeah, you know, have his Captain Queeg moment and start screaming and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a lot of Vietnam veterans that are against McCain. They say that he collaborated with the Vietnamese.
Well, he kind of confessed to it, didn't he?
I think so. And he also made 32 tapes, I think, propaganda tapes that they used. And they claim that he got preferential treatment. And they doubt the extent that he claims that he got tortured. And
he definitely violated, you know, I think he admitted himself that he violated the military code of conduct.
That's what he says in his autobiography. I mean, if you can trust that.
Right. Well, what he admits to, you know, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. So.
Yeah, anything he admitted, there was probably worse.
Yes. And they said he got the preferential treatment, things of that nature. So, I think that's going to come out, too, because that's, you know, it's going to be swift boat time.
And, you know, I got a piece of email from somebody today telling me to lay off his military service and let the Vietnam veterans do it.
And I think they will. I think they're going to take care of business and expose McCain for what he is. And, you know, a lot of people say that McCain was responsible for the tragic accident aboard the USS Forrestal in 1967.
You know, I've read something about that. I had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
But that was, oh, my God, how many people died in that, Jethro?
I don't know exactly how many died. I know that quite a few were injured. 160-some. I don't know if they were injured or died, or it's quite a few. And they, you know, they almost lost the aircraft carrier. I mean, it was devastation. A couple of 500-pound bombs went off and big fires. And
yeah, July 29th, 1967.
Yes.
Goodness
and
gracious.
Also the Keating 5 scandal. I think McCain was neck deep in that as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come up that's going to provide some good entertainment during these debates.
The thing I'm reading here says the loss of life was catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it was 100 and some dead and more than that injured. But they say that right after the same day, McCain boarded the helicopter with some of the injured, and they got him off of there. He was the only one of the non-injured personnel that was taken off the ship that day.
Yeah, a Zuni rocket accidentally fired from an F-4 Phantom parked on the starboard side of the flight deck after the island. It went across the deck into a 400-gallon belly fuel tank on a parked A-4D Skyhawk. And the burning jet fuel spewed all over the deck. Yeah, I have read some intimations that he may have had something to do with it.
All you got to do is Google McCain, USS Forrestal and McCain, and you can get quite a few articles, and some by veterans as well. So it's not just speculation. There's a lot of people that blame him for that, and somehow he's slipping. You know, his father was the admiral or something like that, so he was given special treatment.
Right, because of his daddy.
Yes, and
134 dead, 161 injured, $72 million lost. So
that's
insane. Yeah.
So that's going to come out. And on Bush's song there, I was wondering, did you leave out the verse about Jeff Gannon's overnight stays and him hoeing Bush's corn for him?
Sadly, no. It was all the video I had.
Oh, okay.
Leave it to you. Yeah, oh, and his corn. Hey, Jethro, I got to roll on. We're fresh out of time, but man, good to hear from you.
All right, Bob, I'll be staying in touch. I'm going to start calling in some more often. And
I sure wish you would. It's been too long.
Yes, well, I've just been laying low.
I know how it goes. Sometimes you got to. You take care, brother.
You'll be glad to get rid of me after I keep calling in.
Nah, I don't think so. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Give him hell, Jethro.
All right, Bob.
Bye now.
Later. It's madness.
It is. Our good buddy Jethro, one of the longest time listeners to the program that we've got. And you know what? It's time to get out of here. Because on his way, Peter Godbold, the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host with a brand new fresh edition of Strictly Confidential and a hot and bubbling internet connection after last week's. I'm sure he'll talk about just exactly how frustrating it was. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, John Fox. Thanks, Ben Birch. Thanks, Peter Godbold. Thanks to all the dedicated members of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Be part of the solution. Be part of Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome, welcome indeed to book chapter and verse 122 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome, welcome indeed to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively right here on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network, also brought to you by Coal River Mountain Watch. That's CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch. Stop by the ColeRiverMountainWatch.net site, and you can find out what they're doing to West Virginia. I think you'll be shocked to see what coal mining has done. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Monday, March the 10th, 2008, and indeed you are listening to a live show. If you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. on March the 10th, 2008, a Monday, you are welcome to call in and participate with both myself and the guest, whom I'll be introducing shortly. My goodness, it has been a long week. I have missed you all terribly, and it does impact a person when they're used to talking every night to not be able to do that. It was what we might call internet hell here for a while. Yeah, we're hooked in through Orlando out in this little neck of the woods. For whatever reason, we're not connected directly into Tallahassee. We're hooked in through Orlando, and for whatever reason, we were down until about Thursday, and by the time they got that fixed, the storms arrived, which took it out until Sunday morning. In fact, there's still some people out here with no dial tone, but with DSL, and there are people out here with DSL and no dial tone. And in any case, I have both, and I'm so glad to be back with you. I have missed you, and thank you for sticking around. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find links there to all of the guests. You'll find links to the audio archives from the past shows so that you can listen to a guest you may have missed. You'll find links there to the chat room also. By the way, the chat room is active this evening, and there's a nice crowd there. It'd be a great evening for you to join us at the Head On Radio Network chat room. If you are missing the chat room, you're indeed missing a component of all of the shows. That is, it's great fun there. Links are posted regarding the various news stories that you hear, and there's all sorts of fun and frolic. Some of the smartest people on the planet are at the headonradionetwork.com chat room, and you'll find links there at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. And at strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site, and there you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, of which I'm only a small part. And I'm glad to be with you, as I say, this evening. You'll find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com for the MySpace page and links to help you locate music that you hear on the show.